Good evening.
Good evening.
Well, here it is, August, just flipping by that quickly. And tonight is our... Tonight is our fourth session on what we were going to do in August. In August, we said what we would do is when we would learn to be able to talk to God in God's language, so that we would be able to manifest what we wanted in our lives. And in order to do that, we knew that we needed to get emotions, feelings, and thoughts together, which form a trinity. So tonight, our topic is going to be thought. And we're going to see how thought and emotion and feeling all go together so that we can talk to this thing that we call God. The other thing that is most important in this, we must have a willingness to give up the knowledge that we already have. The knowledge that we were taught as children. The knowledge that we were taught in different institutions of what God was or what God is. We have to be able to look at God differently. So I suggested that we look at God as a big computer in the sky, or we look at God as a matrix in the sky. But the main thing that we have to remember is that we are connected to this thing that we call God. That's why we use the little saying, all that I am is God, but I am not all that God is. We have to have a feeling that we are connected to this. What has happened over the centuries with the human race? Religions have separated it. They have said that humans were created by God, but not necessarily part of God. And what I am telling you is, we are part of God. So you cannot make the statement, all there is God, and then say, but I'm not. But I'm a human, so I'm outside of this whole thing. We can never think that we're outside of anything. Because we're talking here of unity. We're talking only one mind, only one consciousness. And we're all living, moving, and having our being in that mind, in that consciousness. And we must get that feeling within inside of our own selves so that we know when we think, God thinks. Because we're using that power, that mind. Now, many times we pray. We've been taught to pray in different ways. The prayer that I did for years and years and years, especially when I went to bed, was, now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul into fidelity. That was a prayer. And that's what I used. And then I thought of God as some type of a big human in the sky, some type of a big father figure in the sky, that would give me something if I were good, and if I deserved it, you see. So what we have to remember is we always deserve things. You cannot say that you're part of God and then think that you don't deserve something, you see. The outside world, this thing we call race mind and institutions, also teach that this thing that we call God punishes people. God never punishes anybody. God never punishes anything. You cannot say that God is love, or God equals love, or love equals God, and then say that this love, which is supposed to be absolutely unconditional, then punishes somebody for doing something. That's just pure twaddle. And that's not very intelligent. And that is one of the problems with mainstream religions or brand name religions. They ask people to give up their logic. They ask people to give up their intelligence. Science of mind, religious science, never asks you to give those things up. Religious science never teaches you what to think. Religious science teaches you how to think. How to think differently. How to think differently about what? How to think differently about yourself. that you are a wonderful human being, that you are worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter. These are the things that are needed in the world today. I have many clients who come to me, and the things that are outstanding in them all is they do not know that they are worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that they matter. They have no feeling of any connection to this thing that we call God. You have to realize that we are connected to God and we're connected to everything in our lives. The observer and that which is observed cannot be separated. Once you observe something, you have caused what you are observing to change. And that's what we have to realize, that we change things. That's how we create, by changing something. And we create ourselves by changing ourselves. Every person thinks that they are stuck with what they have. And they use expressions, well, I inherited this. This is in my genes. This is the way my family always thought. This is how I was brought up. I was brought up on the wrong side of the tracks. I was this. I was that. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Your history has nothing to do with anything. It's just history. You have to use your thinking. You have to use your thoughts. You have to use your mind. You have to use your imagination to be able to change yourself and give up the stories that you are holding about yourself. Especially the story, I cannot do it because of this. Mm-hmm. You're saying. You have to give that idea up. There isn't anything that you cannot do if you apply your mind to it. If you apply the principles of religious science to your life, there isn't anything that you cannot have and you cannot overcome. We are not taught those things. And the world and your friends and the people you talk to always want to blame somebody else and something outside of themselves. When we learn to give up blame and say, oh, I am the one that's causing this, then we can change it. Then we can change it. You can never change anything outside of yourself. You can never change anybody else outside of yourself. But you can change yourself. When you change yourself, what you're looking at changes. When you change yourself, the person that you are looking at changes. Because you learn to see things differently. It's done with the mind, and it's done with your perception. What are you perceiving? When you realize that you're perceiving something, you can change it. So it all boils down to being able to become a witness to your own thinking, so that you can see what you are thinking. And what you are thinking, you're going to start to bring into your life. You're going to bring it into your life when you add feeling and emotion to it. So these are the items that we are studying in August, so that we can have this. Because now, I have been in this teaching 30 some years. Other people less. Some people have been coming to this class for 2 or 3 years. You've learned a great deal. You have changed. You see things differently. But now it's time to be able to really use this and really understand it and give up the old ideas of how to approach God and learn to approach this thing that we call God in a whole new and different way. And that's what August is all about. So if we know that the emotion, we said in the first week, there are only ever 2 human emotions going on. Love or fear. And we always want to go to love. And we can figure that out in our own minds, how to go to love. I said years ago, if I would look at somebody and immediately I think, ugh, I hate that person. I just absolutely can't stand that person. Now, I realize that is not a good thought for me. So I look at it, and I just keep loving till that needle moves over to love. You see, instead of letting it stick there. But we let our needle stick, don't we? We make up our mind, I hate that.
Sure.
Just stops. Instead of looking at it as something that you can control and that you can change. See, that's the power that we have. We can change our minds. And we can change our world by doing that. But we don't do that because our mind, many people think that they are their mind, and they get stuck in that because the mind says, oh, no, we're not going to do that, or no, that person's no good, and that person's going to stay no good. There is no such thing as a no good person. When you see something and you interpret that as a no good person, you have to always look within yourself and see why do you recognize that. If you recognize something in somebody else, you only recognize it because you have it in your own self. If you didn't have it in your own self, you would never be able to recognize it. You would never be able to recognize it. So, a wonderful thing to remember here is, use this life that you're having at the present moment on this plane of action as a wonderful learning tool. And look at it as not as some punishment, not as drudgery of some kind. Look at it as a fun experience that you're having, a fun experiment that you're having. Become a scientist in your own life. Experiment with it. And don't take it so seriously all the time. That's what people think, that everything here is absolutely serious. Very few things here are serious. So we look at those things. We came here to this plane of action. We decided to carnate here. Why did we decide to carnate here? Because we were tired of floating around up there, just being good or whatever we were doing. And we wanted to experience something different. Now, what are some of the things we wanted to experience? Well, one of the things that we want to experience is we want to learn to love ourselves. We want to learn to love ourselves unconditionally. We want to realize that we are worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that we matter. We want to know that all the time. We want to know that we are wonderful people. Now, in order to do that, we experience different emotions. So, on this plane of action, we have emotions of anger and rage, sadness, and all the range of emotions. We have to be able to experience those emotions, look at those emotions, and dissipate those emotions. See, it's all right to get angry. It's all right to show anger. Many people are afraid to get angry. They think that's the worst thing in the world because we've been taught, oh no, that's a horrible thing. We have to learn that that is an emotion, and it does not have to go out and hurt somebody. You can learn to dissipate anger in a completely different way. And we have to learn to do that. The people that are sick today, the people who are under stress and struggle and strain and all that, is because they have never been able to express anger. And they usually turn that anger into rage. And when they turn that anger into rage, they will not let that rage out. That rage goes inside of them and does bodily harm. So, look at this as a whole experience. I came here to feel this emotion. And this emotion is not going to destroy me. It's not going to destroy anybody else. I'm going to feel this emotion, and I'm going to be able to release this emotion. And that's what we want to do. We don't want to store these emotions inside of our body. We want them to come and go and come and go. Till eventually, we won't feel anger, and we won't feel rage. Because the only reality there is love. But you have to get rid of all this other stuff in front of it till you get to it. It's just like drawing back one curtain after the other, just one curtain after the other, till you finally find, oh, look what's behind there. Nothing but true love. Nothing but unconditional love. That's what we do with that different things. It all starts with the idea that everything that you want is already done. It exists in a possibility. Because we live, move, and have our being in a field of total possibilities. And we can pick the future that we want by picking the possibility and then going towards that possibility. When we do that, the universe fills in the details. It gives you what you need to produce that reality. My Aunt Catherine today turned 95 years old. When I talk to her, I say different things to her. One of the things I always say, Aunt Catherine, why don't you get on a plane and come out here? You can sit around my swimming pool. She never says, Dallas, I'm too old. That can't be done. Whatever, she always says, that's a possibility. That's a possibility. She never says no to anything. She always answers everything with, that's a possibility. You see, and that's what we have to know. Everything is a possibility. And then we are the ones that choose that possibility. We are the ones that are doing the choosing. And that's what freedom is. That is what this great thing that we call God, or the computer in the sky, or the divine making, or Charlie, or whatever you want to call it. It allows us to choose what we want. And that is another thing that was taken away from us. Because when we were children, we weren't given the opportunities to choose for ourselves. Somebody else was always choosing for us. And I find this now with many grown-ups. They've never learned how to choose something. They're waiting for somebody else to make the choice for them. What should I do? What career should I go into? Should I do this? Should I do that? Make the choice. Make the decision. When you make a decision, the whole universe comes and backs you up in that decision. The whole universe comes and backs you up in that decision. So, along this train of thought, with prayer, and manifesting, if you'll remember, in the mental equivalent, Emmett Fox said, you must have warmth of feeling. You must have warmth of feeling connected with your thought and on top of an emotion of love. You see, so it's going to go love, feeling, thought. Because thought, feeling, follows thought. You cannot have a feeling without first having the thought. But sometimes it happens so quickly, you think the feeling came. But it doesn't. You have to think first. That's why you can choose what you want. You can choose to be happy all the time by thinking happy. Now, I have a look. You make your whole self happy. You make yourself happy. Now, also, in the mental equivalent, if you'll remember, he said, if you want to manifest something, you must have focus. You must focus on what you want, and you must keep your focus clear. If you keep putting a vase of flowers in front of a camera, and you keep putting it back and forth and back and forth and back and forth and back and forth, what kind of an image is going to be on the film? A blurred image. An absolutely blurred image. So it's done with focus. I did a wonderful little thing the other night for somebody. They couldn't figure out what they want. Now, they know that they want a job that's less stressful, and that they want to feel fulfilled. They want all the things that everybody else wants. But how do I treat for such a job? How do I get clear on that job? I said, put 4 screens in front of you. Now, see 4 different possibilities on those screens. Now, you have to pick the one that you want. You have to choose. You can pick any one of the 4 because all possibilities. But you pick this. How many people have you heard They've done something for 30 years, and they say, but I could have done something else. Well, absolutely, they could have done something else, but they chose to do that. Once you make that decision, once you choose, then that energy is focused. Then this energy in the universe is focused, and all the things that are in the ethers that need it, that you need, come together to bring that possibility to you. The whole idea that everything, that there's all these possibilities, and that you can go down many roads to a different future, is the whole idea of quantum physics. It's the whole idea of quantum physics. Quantum physics realizes there are many possibilities out there. But by focusing and choosing, you're the one that's deciding which one you want. So when you go to a fortune teller or anything, what they see for you, if they're a psychic, they see one possibility. And if you believe that possibility, you go down that road and you say, see, they were very powerful. This happened. It only happened because you chose to do that possibility. You could have chosen another possibility. So when somebody says to you, oh, you have cancer, you're going to die in 6 months, that's one possibility. That is not the only possibility. That is one possibility. Or you're going to be broke in 6 months if you keep going the way you're going. Well, yes, you are. Now you have a choice. There's another possibility out there. You don't have to take that possibility. But as soon as we hear something, we put it in concrete. And we say, oh, there it is, that possibility, and that's where I'm going. I'm headed in that direction, and that's exactly where that's going to go. How many people now with the stock market is going down again? You're seeing our people are saying, oh, I'm going to lose my money, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this. That's only one possibility. That is only one possibility. Real estate now is, everyone's saying, oh, now real estate, bad interest rates are going up, prices have to go down, this has to happen, that has to happen. That's one possibility. You're seeing? So you can change your possibilities. You can change your possibilities. So, back to the whole thing now, from the beginning. When you are sitting down to pray, standing up to pray, driving in your car to pray, it doesn't matter where you pray. You see, this is a great one, which I think of all the time. If they say, God is everywhere, everyone believes that, don't they? God, everyone believes that. But yet they build a church and say, no, God is in that church. And you have to go to that church to find God. But then you get to church and they say, God's everywhere. You see, I'm not saying tear down all the churches. I'm saying God is everywhere. The same way they say, this is holy ground you're standing on. All ground is holy ground you're standing on. All ground is holy ground. So, when you're doing your prayer work, you sit down, and first of all, you have to know that what you want is already done. It always has to start with the idea that it is already done, because it is already done in the mind of God. It is already done in this unseen world. On the unseen world, everything is done. And what do we know about the unseen world? All things seen come from things that are not seen. We know that because we don't know how this stuff, but we know that it comes to us. So now you sit down and you say, it's already done. I don't know how it's already done, but I know that it's already done. Then you get your emotion into an emotion of love. You get your emotion into an emotion of love. Now, when I say that, most people think love and this emotion of love is going out to me. And it has to be loving somebody else. It has to be loving God. It has to be loving other people. No. You must sit down. And the emotion of love that we're talking about is a love for yourself. If you don't have a love for yourself, how do you expect your demonstration to come true? You see, if you don't love yourself enough to make the demonstration come true, it's not going to come true. So, now we have to say, well, how do I love myself? Well, you sit down and you convince your mind. You have to convince your mind that you are worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter. Okay? And you can do that. You argue with your mind, remember, like a lawyer before the court. And you always make sure that you win. You have to win the battle. You have to win that. So, worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter. With that, let's do the matter game.
I matter, I matter, I really, really matter. I matter, I matter, I really, really matter.
Could you amend the Bosch a little bit?
So let's talk a moment about being sold a bill of goods. And the bill of goods that we're sold is that we need somebody else's authority. And that we need somebody else's love so that we can love ourselves. If somebody loved me, I would love myself. No. It has to start with you. Then you have to get rid of all that bull that's in your mind that says, yes, but my parents didn't love me, or my great aunt didn't love me, or my grandmother slapped me when I was a child, or this happened, or that happened, so therefore I must not be loved. Bull. That's all twaddle. Give that up. That is your mind trying to destroy you. That is your mind always keeping you in a tailspin of some sort. You have to remember that you are not your mind, and you have to be able to stop those thoughts. I have many thoughts that come into my mind. Always, the worst thoughts come into my mind from childhood is in the morning when I'm shaving, for some reason. Oh, remember when Mother said this to you? Stop it. I say, stop it. I've heard it before. It hasn't done me one bit of good. I don't want to hear it again. I never complete the thought because I know what the thought is. Why would I want to complete it? But people like to play in their minds. You know, if you look at the mind like a big mud puddle, people can't resist stirring in the mud puddle and stepping in it and all, just like when you're a kid. You have to, ooh, let's look. Don't bother to look. It's not going to do one bit of good for you. Does anyone know why those thoughts are not going to do anything good for you?
They drag you down.
Pardon?
They drag you down into the mud.
They drive you down into the mud, but they're in the past, and there's no power in the past. There's no power in the past. It's come. It's gone. People say, oh, they want to go back and they want to change the past. You cannot change the past, but you can change the emotional impact that the past has on you. How do you change the emotional impact that the past has on you?
Love it, bless it, release it.
Yes. You have to love it, you have to bless it, you have to release it, and you have to forgive yourself for it, and you have to forgive all those involved. And then you start over. Now, you're in the now, and you're fresh, and you say to yourself, I am totally worthy. I am totally lovable, deserving, and I matter. I am a wonderful human being. You have to do that for yourself. It's now time for all of us to raise our own selves. It's wonderful that we have parents. You know, I happen to, at the present time, love my parents. My parents were no day at the beach. They did not beat me up and all that. But emotionally, they never got themselves past the age of 12. Most people never get themselves past the age of 12. Why do you think these relationships are, people are always bickering and fighting and so forth?
Yeah.
Because they're still children. They're still childlike. Do you remember what Paul said about that? When I was a child, I spoke like a child. And now that I'm an adult, I give up childish things. We have to give up these childish things. We have to become our own parents. We have to become our own authorities. And yes, it's all right to look up books. It's all right to go onto Google. It's all right to come and get information. But no information in the world is going to help you till you realize that you are a wonderful individual and till you realize that you absolutely love yourself. That you absolutely love yourself. You are a divine expression of God, an individual expression of God. You are a masterpiece of God. These are the things you say to yourself. These are the things that you say to yourself. Don't let your mind beat you up. Say, oh, you're dumb, you're stupid, you're this, you're that. That is absolutely ridiculous. And God's not doing that, and nobody else is doing that, only you are doing that. You see? If somebody hurts you, they can only ever hurt you once. Every time you think about it, now you are hurting yourself. And that's why we always become our own punishers. You see? We always become that. And how many people hold something? Sometimes for a lifetime. They run into the person who's supposedly did this to them, and they say to the person, do you remember when you did this to me? And the person says, no. That person never remembered it, but you carried it for 30, 40 years, and it did you in. Didn't do them in. Don't let these things do you in. Most of the things that happen to us are trivial. It's our mind that builds them up. Remember, there is no such thing as big or small in the mind of God. There's no such thing as big or small in the mind of God. If you lose a dollar or $1 million, it's exactly the same thing. But we, with our mind, place more value on the million than we do on the dollar, and we say, oh, it's only a dollar. We don't say, oh, it's only $1 million, I can make it again. You see? We're doing it with our mind, with our perspective on what we think. So we have to see that and learn to change that within our own selves. But we're not going to get anywhere in life till we truly love ourselves. And we see tons of people who get so far in life and then something happens. Usually they kill themselves. You look at Marilyn Monroe and all these other people. They had tons of stuff going for them, but they never liked themselves. Marilyn's problem was she never liked herself. And she was a beautiful woman, did a lot of things. She could never convince herself that she liked herself. And you can read book after book and biographies after biographies, and they will always tell you, well, she had a poor childhood, her mother beat her, her stepfather did this, this happened, and that happened. That's all bull. That is what the world is saying out there. That does not have to happen to you. It's what you're thinking about yourself. And I'm not taking all those things away from somebody. Yes, that those were the events in your life. But how are you handling them so that you can now have what you want in your life? How are you handling them? Why do you want to keep going, you know, the rest of your life with that same thought pattern, that same thing? Thank you. And not only drives you crazy, it drives everyone crazy around you. And it's certainly no way to go through life. Certainly no way to go through life. You're wasting a great deal of time and energy. And as long as you can keep forgiving yourself and forgiving all others and love, bless, and release everything, you will find that life is wonderful. You'll have much more energy. You'll enjoy it. Everything is so much better. We don't have to attach ourselves to all this stuff that's going on out there. So if you have all this stuff going on, you hate your mother, you hate your father, you hate this, you have blah, 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 whatever. And now you want to make a treatment, and you want that treatment to come true. Don't you think that's a little muddled? That's a little muddled. So we have to clean that stuff up. I think it was Jesus who said you must forgive everybody before you start to pray. You know? And isn't it in the Lord's Prayer? Forgive our debtors. We have to learn to forgive. But the main thing always is we have to learn to forgive ourselves. Stop holding things against you. Stop having regrets. Stop having but-ifs of all that in your life. And stop thinking, well, if I came from a better family, if my family had money and this, things would be different for me. No, they would not be different for you. The only thing that makes something different for you is by changing your perspective, by changing your thinking. And when you change your thinking, you can change your feelings. And when you change your feelings, you can come up with the emotion of love. And then you have three things working for you. That is the language of God. That is the language of God. So, let's look at the little handout. This is the one on thought. And these handouts, by the way, hold on. Okay. Everyone has one now? These handouts, if you see Greg Braden's name at the top, Greg Braden was an earth scientist and maybe even a rocket scientist. But anyway, he is a scientist and a very lovely man and a very good writer and lecturer. So I borrow these from him. So all the feelings, the emotions, thought, and the one about the fourth century, first one there, about the whole idea of how things started to change in our lives. And they started to change when they gave up in the fourth century, when they lost this key to how to talk directly to God without anybody in between. And it's done with feeling. How many times have I said, feeling is the life organism. How are you feeling? Not what are you thinking. How are you feeling? How are you feeling? Don't you always want to sit around and feeling good about yourself? Feeling joy and happy and fulfilled? That's the feeling. That's what you want, not the thought that's going on up there. So let's look at this. Thought may be considered the guidance system that directs our emotion. It is the image or idea created by our thought that determines where our emotions and attention are directed. Thought is closely associated with imagination. And what do we know about imagination? One of the greatest tools we were ever given is our imagination. And it's one of the first tools that people try to take away from us. People always try to take imagination away from you. Because if you start to imagine things, they think you're crazy. And they're afraid. People are afraid of their own imagination. Because if you start to go into the depths of your mind and start to really imagine and see these things, people think you're off your rocker. Well, you're not off your rocker. So learn to use your imagination. Learn to use that. How many people are familiar with Shakti Gawain? Who wrote 30-some years ago, she wrote wonderful books on how to visualize and how to use your imagination. See, now that here again, these things have been out, that's been out 30 years. To me, 30 years is a long time. 2,500 years is even longer. So people have known these, and known these techniques, and known how to do this. But we have to now apply all this stuff. This is nothing new. It's learning to apply it. It's learning to accept it. Why don't we apply and accept it? Because we still are under the impression that this thing that we call God is somewhere else outside of us. And this thing that we call God is capable of showing favors and is capable of punishment. That is all twaddle. Do not let that into your thinking. Do not allow that into your thinking. Surprisingly, too many people in itself, thought alone has little energy. Thought alone has little energy. If you don't put something behind thought, it has no energy whatsoever. You have to have a feeling and an emotion behind the thought for it to do anything. Religious science has the big statement, change your thinking, change your life. I'm saying, change your feelings, change your life. Change your feelings, change your life. It is only a possibility with no energy to give it life. You see that? It's only a possibility. This is the beauty of pure thought. In the absence of emotion, there is no power to make our thoughts real. It is our gift of thought in the absence of emotion that allows us to model and to simulate the possibilities of life harmlessly without creating fear or chaos in our lives. It is only in our love or fear for the object of our thought that we breathe life into the creation of our imagination. Breathe life. You have to have the emotion in there to breathe life into your thought and into your imagination. So you sit down. How will I feel when it is done? How will I feel when I sell the house, when I get the job, when I do this, that, or the other thing? Bring up that feeling. We are not taught to sit in our feelings. We are taught from day one to avoid all feeling. To avoid all feeling. What do most people do? They have a feeling, they pick up a drink, they pick up a cigarette, or they pop a pill. Because, oh my God, a feeling is coming on. I better do something to stop that. You had a question.
Yes. So, here in the absence of emotion, he means feeling instead of the emotion. It is our gift of thought in the absence of emotion that allows us to model and simulate the possibilities of life harmlessly.
Yes. When we're just sitting around thinking with no emotion and no feeling behind it, it has no power to do anything.
Okay.
You see. That's why daydreams very seldom come true. They're just daydreams. It's a fancy. You're just daydreaming. Once you put emotion and feeling behind it, aha, now it has power. Now it's going to go someplace and do something. You see. It's going to go someplace and do something. And this, we know this. We know this up one side and down the other, and we hear it all the time, and then we immediately forget it. How many times have you seen at different award programs and so forth, say the Emmys or the Oscars, and somebody will stand up and say, I always knew I was going to do this. I always knew I was going to get this. See, you have to know that it's already done first. We do that. The people that do it the most are the country western people. They immediately say, oh, I always knew I was going to do this. I always knew this. I always knew this. I always knew this. It's in the knowing that it's already done. And all we're doing is moving towards that, and it is moving towards us, and it's going to connect. You see. But we have to know. It's already done. Very, very simple thing. So, if you can get your thoughts in line with your feelings and with your emotion, there's no way that you cannot manifest what you want in life. But it has to start inside of you, and it has to start inside of an environment of love and love for yourself. Love for yourself. And it makes absolute sense to your mind, doesn't it? Why would anyone want to give you something if you didn't love yourself? You know, if you didn't appreciate yourself. Have you ever heard that expression? Oh, I'd give them that, they wouldn't appreciate it anyway. Have you ever heard that expression? You've probably used it yourself. I'd give it up. They never appreciate it. See? You have to love yourself. And then, this thing we call God gives it to you. gives it to you. See, God is in the giving business. God never takes. God only gives. God only loves. We're the ones who can't take, and we're the ones who can't love. So we sit and we learn to love ourselves so that we can receive all the bounty that's out there. We cannot say that we live in this abundant, prosperous universe and then live poorly. And then live poorly. It was Charles Fillmore, you know, who said, being poor is a sin. Being poor is a sin. Which immediately threw everyone into a tizzy, because the church, for years and years and years, said, God loves the poor. God loves the poor. Now, why do you think that expression ever came into existence? Because there were thousands and thousands and thousands of poor people. There were only a few people who had the money, and certainly the church had the money, and they didn't want people to come up in arms and so forth, so they said, but God loves the poor. So people said, oh, I don't need money because God loves me. I have a friend, which I refer to as Doug the Baptist, and Doug the Baptist absolutely believes, he says to me, well, Dallas, we're suffering here, but you know when we get to heaven, then we'll have a better place, a higher station, and things will be grand. The same. We've been sold a bill of goods. We've been sold a bill of goods. Napoleon Bonaparte said this, and I will tell you, I don't know if I have this one quite correct, but I just love it. Religion is a wonderful stuff. It keeps the common man in line. It keeps the common man in line. And for centuries, that's what religion did. It kept the masses in line. And the people with the money, the kings and queens and the big people of money, were allowed to do anything they wanted because they just bought themselves out of everything. They just bought themselves out of everything. Now, I'm never putting religion down, or maybe sometimes. But the main thing is, I never put God down. This teaching is a complete God-oriented teaching. And when you realize that that's what you're going for, to feel God, to know God, to be able to use God, instead of being able to memorize all the prayers, to do all the novenas, to light all the candles, to do all the rituals and so forth, you see, which we've watched people do that for centuries, and where has it gotten? Where has it gotten? You know, what I don't understand is, I know many people who go to church on Sunday. There's always the biggest gossip in town. And they're always, but they always have no peace of mind. No peace of mind. When I went to the Lutheran church for years when I was a child, the last thing the minister always said, and now for the peace which passes all understanding. The peace which passes all understanding. I kept looking for that peace because you walked right out and everyone was fighting and arguing and carrying on with each other. Something was wrong right away. So where did that ever, you know? Doesn't make sense. It does not make sense. So learn for this thing to make sense. Learn that you can have peace of mind, and you can have that peace of mind which passes all understanding. And how do you get that? Inside of yourself. By knowing that you're a wonderful human being, that you're worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter. If we knew that every minute of every day, there would be no illness in this world. There would be no mental hospitals in this world. Disease and all that stuff would be out the window. Would be out the window. We wouldn't have police forces. We wouldn't have any of the stuff that we have. Because we're all one. There's only one consciousness. There's only one consciousness. So when we get enough people dropping into this consciousness, peace. Peace will prevail in this world. That is the way it works. So, does anyone have any questions about this way of prayer? It's called the Lost Mode of Prayer, and was done by the Essenes, and they did it by living in close community with nature, which is one of the things that we do not do. We do not live close to nature any longer. The other thing that has happened to religion is technology. People have given up God because science has made their lives very comfortable. And it keeps making their lives comfortable. And it keeps distracting people from what is real. Because all we think about now is how can I entertain my mind? What can I see on television? What amusement park can I go to? Where can I go to keep completely distracted from the main things? So, out the window, the rest of it goes. Out the window. So, use this lost mode of prayer. Know that it's already done. Sit down with that in mind. Get your body and your mind and your feelings in line that you love yourself and love yourself totally, so that you can receive, that you are willing, ready, and able to receive. And then get your thought, your feeling, and your emotion in alignment with each other, and you will make a demonstration. You will make a demonstration. That is the technology that you can use, and you can then plug it into God just like you use a computer. Just like you use a computer. There is no sense to have a God if God is useless. There is no sense to have a God if God is punishing you in any way. And I still hear that, and I hear that especially when people get sick. Why did God do this to me? God did not do it to you. You did it to yourself. You did not take care of yourself. You did not take care of the temple that you are living in. People take better care of their cars than they do their bodies. And you are riding around in your body. So take good care of your body. Okay? All right. Our prayers come to life as we focus upon the feeling of our heart's desire rather than the thought of our knowing world. Your heart's desire. What do you really want? Think of that. And then forget what the outside world is telling you, that it can't be done. You see, the thought of our knowing world. Our world knows a great deal and doesn't get it very far, does it? This one I just love. Our body is the feedback mechanism, mirroring to us the quality of our choices of thought, feeling, and emotion. Breath, nutrients, and movement, and our honoring of life. And our honoring of life. We need these choices. We must learn to think good thoughts about ourselves. Remember, I try to only think thoughts that heal me, bless me, and prosper me. Feelings. I always try to feel wonderful inside, filled with joy, filled with happiness, filled with excitement about life itself. And I come from that emotion of love. And I do breathe. I love to breathe. And we know that. What in the Bible when they say, where is God? The answer is, as close as your nostrils. Because God is in the air. It is in the breathing. In India, they call it prana, do they not? And we know that that has power. That your breath It's the breath of life. We often hear that. Don't get far without breathing. Learn to breathe. And nutrients. Take good care of your body. Eat the right foods and so forth. And movement. Movement. Do something. An exercise. Take a walk. Exercise your body. You're in this type of field, the body field. The body absolutely needs it, and doesn't the body absolutely love movement?
Mm-hmm.
It loves movement. Once you realize that, once you start to move, you'll want to do it all the time because your body absolutely wants to do it. It makes you feel that good, but your body wants to do it. It wants to move. And then honoring of life. Honoring of life means not only your life, it means all life. It means honoring all life and seeing all life. The other day, I was at my friend Beverly. She was out of town. She wanted me to water her plants for her. And her whole kitchen counter was loaded with ants. Now, everyone goes, ooh. Now, I have to look at those ants and I have to say, what? My goodness, look at how many gods there are down there. Now, I'm saying to myself, how am I going to get rid of them? How am I going to get rid of them? Am I going to take a paper towel and just... Yeah. Don't ask what I did. I have another friend once who had ants. She said to me, as she was killing them, a Jewish woman, says, you know, I just can't understand how Hitler could have killed all those people. I said, look down and see what you're doing. She got it. That's life. That's God too, those ants. You see, as long as we keep killing things, we're going to kill each other.
Did you really not kill those ants in the kitchen? Because my thing is, you know, I tell the ants, look, you're in my home now. I do my best to not kill you outside, but now you're in my territory.
Yeah.
Spiders I'll pick up and put outside.
Well, see, I don't have an ant consciousness. The lady upstairs from me always has ants. I never have them. They don't come down into my place because I don't have an ant consciousness. Now, if I do have an ant consciousness, what I did years ago when I had that, I put cucumbers out because they don't like cucumber. You just peels of cucumber and you lay it down and they go away because they can't stand the smell of cucumber.
Huh. So I didn't know that, really?
Yeah, there's always a way to get rid of something without really going to a chemical right away and going to something else, you see. I was telling a friend of mine today, I have morning glories. First, I have morning glories outside of my window, and I said to her, I just love morning glories. They remind me of my grandmother. My grandmother always had beautiful morning glories, and they're that beautiful blue. I just love them. And I said, and I pick a zinni every day. I asked him if I could. He had them in his tomato patch. She said, why does he plant those in the tomato patch? I said, because they keep aphids and stuff away. I said, so do marigolds. She said, I never heard that. I said, oh yeah, you don't have to spray for things. If you put the right thing out, the bugs won't come around, you see. If you want to get rid of things, buy ladybugs. Let them take care of things for you. And then I pick one a week, because zinnias, I love them because they last forever. And I have it in my kitchen, so every morning I look at that and it reminds me of my grandfather. And I look out the window and that reminds me of my grandmother. But I honor all of life. I look around and I see beauty in all of life. That's what it means. You have to honor life. But honor your own life. Honor your own life. And see how absolutely wonderful you are. And how wonderful life is. Because it is wonderful. And so are you. And so am I. And there ends the lesson. Thank you.
Thank you.